Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Welcome, everybody, to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We are here! What's happening, everybody? And thanks for joining us. It's a little bit earlier than usual. It's 9:40. Oh, no, now it's 10:15 Pacific time in the Americas. But if you're watching overseas or in America or anywhere else on this great earth of ours, we appreciate you. We are at DC Movies SK on the Twitter. We're facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Let's get to the squad. I'm at Jay Quasto. That dude right there, he is the host of Man vs. Child on the FYI Network Thursday evenings at 9 post meridian. He's also the host of FX Movie Download on FX. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler. He's also the, I don't want to say the leader, he's the worst mocker.
Verse mucker, yeah.
He's the verse mucker of Doghouse. He's Adam Gertler.
Hey, what's up, man? This is the earliest we've ever done this kind of thing. It's like
I'm feeling good.
It's in the AM, so this is all for JT Shadow, who's in Australia. I believe it's 9 p.m. next Thursday there, so congratulations. He's watching live. I also wanted to introduce to you a good friend of mine, someone who was actually on the Next Food Network Star a number of years ago with. He's a chef in New York City, has a restaurant called Distilled. He's here as an expert, knows absolutely nothing about DC Comics, and proudly so. Shane Lyons, say hello, Shane.
Thanks for the introduction, Adam. It's good to be here.
You might also recognize him if you ever saw the Nickelodeon show All That. He was actually on the show with Kenan Thompson. Is that who you were on with?
Well, you know how they were Saved by the Bell?
Yes.
And they were Saved by the Bell, the new class that fucked up the show?
Yeah.
We're that cast.
You were a child actor?
Oh, yeah. I'm recovering, though. I also was on Law and Order and ER, and did my time in some juvie in both those.
Way to go, man!
Thanks,
so
dude.
Wait, you were the all that cast post Amanda Bynes?
Yeah, we were like that cast that was crossing over. So we interacted with Amanda and Nick Cannon. This is before Amanda was throwing her bongs out the window.
You sure?
Can you sing the intro a little bit for
no,
us?
No.
All that. This is all that. Shane is all that.
Just when we got away from TV time, this comes back to destroy my world.
Speaking of which, she is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News after show. You can find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer, and many, many things coming up very, very soon. She's Roxy Stryer.
That is me, and we remember from last week, Sultan of Sass. You know, you gotta put that back in the intro.
Hashtag Sultan of Sass on that ass.
Lady of the night.
Oh. He's a lady of the night.
No, that one didn't play so well.
Oh. Nope.
We cut that one from
the
rap.
That's fun to say.
Lady of the night. Just own it. I'll just own it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just own it.
Mm-hmm. We gotta own it. We
almost
fun.
Had Mike Kalinowski here, by the way. We always had our regular. Mike Kalinowski was sitting at that chair where Shane is up until like 10 minutes ago. He got called away very unexpectedly. It was weird.
It seemed like he was doing some superhero duty. I'm just saying. He like really jetted out of here.
He was wearing a Batman shirt already, but I think he had to put the full suit on and go fight crime. So follow him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski because he had to do his duty.
Okay, so what do we got in the world of DC movies?
Well, I think we got to start off with the Fortune.com article telling us all about a man named Lex Luthor,
mm-hmm.
Jr., if you will.
Yeah, this is really exciting because this is the first official viral marketing starting for the Batman v Superman film. And it was actually appears in Fortune magazine. I believe it appears in the actual magazine. It certainly appears on the website.
Yep.
So it's not like a fake website. So it's sort of integrated.
Look at that face.
And it's a great little profile on, Alexander Luthor Jr. So they're just implying in this continuity, in this world, in the DCEU, which is what they call the extended universe, the films, Lex Luthor is the son of another Lex Luthor. Really filled with a lot of Easter eggs, guys. What did you think of this little piece of advertising?
I loved it. Go ahead, Rox.
I just wanted to read the actual quote here. Dad named the company after himself 10 years before I made my unexpected entrance into his life.
Sour grapes.
But investors seemed to respond to the idea of an adoring father building a legacy for his precious son. He used that to his advantage. It was a good shtick. And whatever else he was a good businessman. So that's from the younger Luther, as he explained.
I feel like whoever wrote this had to be giggling the whole time. Oh, this is going to be so good. There's just so many great things in this article.
You can hear... You can hear that smarmy Jesse Eisenberg read of that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was a good shtick. You know, smart billionaire with his... Like, he's almost painting his father as the Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. And he's saying, like, his dad was some old school, you know, unconscientious billionaire. And he represents the new school. He's very much playing a character, Lex Luthor, akin to his Facebook movie character. You know, his Zuckerberg character. He's a modern billionaire.
Yep.
This Lex Luthor is depicted as, like, the head of Google. He's into tech, where he says his dad was into weapons. But then he also, in the same breath, speaks to... the importance of defense and how there's no more time before, you know, it's only a matter of time before the world is threatened, much like it was in the events of Man of Steel. They also paint him walking past his display of meteor rocks, hello kryptonite being introduced. They also refer to the other, the number one producing company for charity, Wayne Enterprises, and also profitability, Wayne Enterprises.
It's funny you mention that. Yeah, it talks about how he's one of the world's 50 greatest leaders. He's the youngest person ever to be named Fortune's Businessman of the Year. And LexCorp has become the second largest emerging technology corporation next to Wayne Enterprises.
Right. So you're establishing a rivalry between Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor in the film universe, which is great. But there's also a mention of a third industry there of a character that has not been introduced in the movies, and this is very interesting. And do you know what company that was?
I believe I read the article last night.
It was Cord Industries.
Yes, Cord Industries.
So Ted
yes.
Cord, who is another billionaire, who is the Blue Beetle. Now, why this is of particular interest, if you've watched our show before, Mike Kalinowski is always quick to point out that on The Arrow, okay, the character that Brandon Routh plays is the Atom, but everything about the Atom in its original description was meant to be Ted Kord.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is that Berlanti and crew were told not to use Blue Beetle or Ted Kord
to save it
because they had plans for him. And some things are going to crash
Bigger
over.
Plans.
Right. So,
well, there's no way we're seeing Blue Beetle in BVS.
No, but this is the first introduction. This is the first introduction, just like we saw the Wayne satellite in Man vs. Steel. So it's just an inclusion of the world. It's an Easter egg, but it could lead to more.
But it's a good point to say it's an Easter egg because everybody's saying this confirms a Blue Beetle, which it absolutely does not. Speaking of things that you guys are saying, they want us to mention the fact that it alludes to Lex killing his father. A bunch of people in the chat are talking.
Shout
about
out to
that.
Andrew Comer for that one.
Oh, because his unexpected death or his mysterious death that the article alludes to?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying from Theo Cabala and Cool Whip Special, which is a great handle.
A great name.
A bunch of people are talking about that. So
I think it was awesome. I think it really it just confirms everything that we've heard about what this Lex Luthor is, which is he's going to be he's a billionaire. He's making himself out to seem like he's he's Steve Jobs. He's the future of tech, but really his interests are in warmongering and in protection of the Earth. And, you know, in that he says that he alludes to doomsday, perhaps. He says that we have some exciting new technologies which are going to change the world.
Yeah.
So this could be the first possible mention of something that will be at the end of BVS, which is the strange threat that rises, potentially. Very exciting.
My favorite quote of the entire article, and I'll try and do my best, Eisenberg / Luther.
I love
it. Oh, let's see this.
Accents.
Another world-changing crisis is hurtling towards us like a speeding bullet. We have to be ready to defend ourselves.
Yeah, not bad.
It's pretty good. Is the hand part of it?
I'm gonna throw you
though?
Snaps on that one.
It's part of it.
No, it's pretty
this
good.
This is a serious actor right here, and he said it wasn't bad. So
I know he's got a lot more credits than I do. And I've been working my ass off for 10 years.
You know what my trick is? I don't work.
I love it.
And it's just, you know,
that's it. That's it. Just
but no,
be.
He mentioned speeding bullet.
Oh, right. He mentions the next threat that's hurtling towards us faster than a speeding bullet. So you have the Superman
that's
reference.
Great.
You have the meteorite rocks, a kryptonite possibly reference. You have the new technology that's going to change everything, possibly this doomsday protocol. You have Cord Industries mentioned. This thing is rife with information, and I love it. And not only that, the tone of it is completely akin to what I would expect from Eisenberg's Deliverance. So I'm just really excited, and I love that we're getting our first piece of propaganda. Now I can't wait to see the Wayne version of this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is exciting. This
you know
is
it's
really
coming.
Great.
It's coming.
This is well written and so clever and a joy.
And putting it in Fortune magazine is very cool.
Yeah, really, really
it's
cool.
Establishing where Lex Luthor falls, because you know in the comics, in a lot of the continuity, Lex Luthor becomes the president of the United States, mm-hmm. despite the fact that he's the enemy of Superman. So he's a villain that lurks in the shadows. The world is never aware that Lex Luthor is a quote-unquote bad guy.
Right. You know what this reminds me of? You know when you go on like a really great ride, but you're stuck in line for a half hour, but the line builds you into that world? Like you see stuff on the wall, mm-hmm. or you see these little screens.
Sure.
Reading that article like puts you in the whole world of everything.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember going on the Incredible Hulk ride in Universal Studios, and it was all that, except it was more like 3.5 hours mm-hmm. for a 30-second ride.
Or like when King Kong first came out at Universal. Waiting in line was awesome because it kind of put you in the whole like panic mode, you know, like King Kong was taken over. What?
I'm going back to the chat here because they're doing a great job participating in the conversation today. Number one, they think that you're Seth Rogen. Oh, no. So
yeah, Shane is Seth Rogen.
Yeah, I am actually Seth Rogen.
And it's great. The people on iTunes will believe you. And number two, they've made a new movie which is called Man vs. Steel. Which is a brilliant film that our chat...
Oh, Man vs. Steel? Yeah. Man vs. Steel, yeah.
Our chat has created in the DCEU, Man vs. Steel, which I love. So thank you, chat.
That's good. Yeah. I'm happy to provide that for you. Just a quick question. Sure.
Do you think that, is being compared to Seth Rogen at this point now, is that a compliment?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I feel
like, you know, the guy has done...
Wait, are you high right now?
Am I high? No, I was high about 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay, well, I think...
I don't know, borderline Seth Rogen, then. Yeah. Borderline.
Yeah, Seth Rogen would have at least had the decency to be high. Yeah.
Do you have your own bungalow on the Sony lot?
No.
But Seth would probably gladly eat at one of your restaurants.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, Seth Rogen is working on a film about animated, like, sausage called, like, Sausage Party or something, like, and I really want to get, like, the tie-in work for that.
You tell me that Seth Rogen, who's not gay... is making a film about sausage.
Yeah, I think what I hear, they're doing an R-rated film about, like, sausages in a market. Like, it's an R-rated animated film where sausages are the main characters.
And doggy style comes into play, so it's rated PG-13.
Oh, I think plenty of doggy style is going to come into play.
Some sensuality.
There will be some sensuality. By the way, how about people taking me seriously, like, last week?
I thought you were serious. After the show, I go, dude, that really is a thing? You go, no, I made that up. I'm like,
son of a bitch. I confirm the fact that PG-13 and some sensuality implied doggy style.
That was so Finstock. Of you. Like,
it was kind of Finstock for me.
You just made it up. And I was dropping big news, and you were just dropping bigger news that was fake.
Guys, believe nothing.
I believe it.
What else we got in the world of movies? Well, anything exciting?
Speaking of believing nothing, we don't know what to believe as far as Jason Fuchs goes. It looks like he's very close to being involved in Wonder Woman, but his quote was, when you work for DC, it's like working for the CIA. You have a vow of silence. I think as we speak, Zack Snyder is going to come in here and put a muzzle on me. You can't say much, but I'm really excited about what's going on with the universe.
Right. So we talked a little bit about that last week, but I will say just a shout out to him and everything that he's doing.
He's a cool guy, man.
Pan coming out on October 9th. So
yes.
Everybody make sure you check that out. And Johnny, balls in your court. He might be a little bit of a friend of yours or an acquaintance.
He's
so
an acquaintance.
Maybe you get him in here.
We're Facebook buddies. We follow each other on Instagram. We hung out once.
Get him on the show.
Yeah, I wanted to wait for the right time. I know he's busy. I don't want to bother him, but I still think, you know.
I don't think it would make sense to have him on the show until he can announce something. Otherwise, it'll be an hour of like, so you are involved? You're not involved? And like, you know, they keep these guys in absolute secrecy.
Like
they
said,
we don't know if he's like actually writing the thing or not, or if he's a story consultant. But he's working on a lot of things, and he has this huge movie, Pan, coming out, which I'm hearing some mixed things about. So maybe that'll have an effect as to whether or not they want to announce him as the writer of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I think once it's official, and depending on what kind of gag order they have, I definitely would love to ask him to come on. I think he'd be willing to do it.
And speaking of people who may or may not be involved in DC properties, George Miller elucidates a little bit his position. We spoke last week about how George Miller had said, yes, he's been in talks with DC. It's one of the things he's in the mix.
I hope we speak about him every week. I hope things just keep
coming. I love George Miller.
Me too.
But he said he definitely wants to make a small film next. But he also alludes to a couple of Mad Max sequels. Shane, did you see the new Mad Max film?
I did. And Adam, you know I'm not big on the fantasy genre of films in general. Right. I'm kind of knocked out here. But I enjoyed it. I mean, it was big. It was loud. It was a lot of...
Did you enjoy, compared to like a lot of films where it's very, very obviously, you know, computer effects and all that, did you appreciate the visceral nature of the effects in that film, that everything was actually there?
Yeah, I mean, I think all audiences have wised up to the fact that you can make anything go kaboom with a computer. Thank you, Michael Bay. Like, we've learned that. We've seen that every summer. So it was nice to see a film that was rooted in standard effects and was really, like, gritty. But again, it's a Hollywood blockbuster. You know, and some of it, my issue with that film is, like, those beautiful concubines, like, that would not exist in that wretched world.
They were, like, right off of the Vogue set.
I think it would. I think it was perfect and flawless and beautiful in every way.
It was the most fun two-hour U-turn I've ever
Shane,
watched.
What would you think? As someone that's not super into these kind of genre films, do you think that having a filmmaker like George Miller, who's so rooted in practicality, would that help a film like this? Would that help the superhero genre? Do you think that would be a good director to bring on board?
Well, I think that, as just a casual film viewer, that you're seeing, like, there's a bubble forming. I mean, every movie coming out is one of these superhero films. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to disrupt the model? And so if you bring in someone who is not from that realm, it seems to me that's the best route to go, because you're not recreating the same... You know, I don't know what movie just bombed recently. The Fantastic Four.
Tough Break.
Yeah. No, so like, I don't watch these films because I know they're going to be garbage. But as you guys who like go to the theater and pay your $15 to watch it, what makes that film different than Mad Max? Like, what's the delta in between there that's happening on set that's creating?
Well, I mean, it's like anything. It's like, you know, you can buy anything. You can buy the fantasy genre. You have to create a world in which that you're invested in the characters and what they want. It's just like any story. And then you're on board for the ride. Fantastic Four failed in that, you know, you weren't really on board with any of the characters. It didn't have fun with itself when these characters get these amazing powers. So you're not invested. And you lose your sight, as opposed to, you know, the brilliant Christopher Nolan Batman films, where they spend every beat is painstakingly spent forming how this can happen, how Batman can happen, and that's an exciting ride. I think when you speak about the bubble, it's interesting that the next superhero film after Fantastic Four is a film called Deadpool, which I was talking to you a little bit about the other day. It's an R-rated film where the character breaks the fourth wall. It can take a little bit of air out of the bubble because it disrupts the model of what people are typically used to seeing. And I think that's going to be really exciting.
Plus, I mean, I think Mad Max, for example, I think people were waiting years to see Mad Max. Whereas, like, Fantastic Four, we're not even that long since the last one. And so people, it was just kind of overkill a little bit.
I think people were waiting to see both of them. And for me, it's not... We're getting on a tangent here. It's not always just about characters. It's really hard to compare anything to Mad Max, because what that did for me was, like, a moving visual experience. So,
was it a lady boner?
Some might call it a lady boner.
Okay.
But I think that movie is different than, like, when I want characters to be fully developed.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Mad Max was a real visceral experience. Like, I disconnect very much when I have, like, a mostly computer-generated, you know, fight scene. Like, even at the end of Man of Steel, you know, I'm like, all right, it's like a video game at some point.
Right.
But Mad Max, because I could feel it, like, it felt like a fun ride. It was fun to see in a theater. It was fun to see with a big crowd. You could tell people were actually reacting to the visual spectacle of it in real time.
The most fun two-hour U-turn I've watched.
Yeah,
but to bring it back full circle, that's not what I was looking for in Mad Max. It's not even close to what I'm looking for in BBS or in Suicide Squad.
Well, you see, but that's where I have to disagree a little bit, because I believe that I would have loved Man of Steel.
I hadn't even said what I was concerned. Trying to see.
Well, what do you mean? You said that that's not what you want in a BBS.
Right.
So I'm disagreeing with that.
Okay. So what do you disagree with?
I'm saying I would have appreciated more practicality in Man of Steel. To me, the problems I had with Man of Steel were that it got so digital and so video game sometimes that we're not even checking back with humans, and then you have this video game playing out, and that's why people checked out. That's why people thought it's too long at the end. That's where the movie starts to have problems. Whereas, you know, practicality and actually seeing, you know, the things happen would bring the audience back into the narrative.
Can I ask you guys a question? Like, yeah. I feel like as an amateur film watcher,
I mean, we're all amateurs unless we're technically you're not getting paid to watch films. So.
Right.
Well, you are.
Sometimes, yes, that's true.
As a guy who watches films from time to time, I'm fairly busy. But so when I sit down and watch a movie, I want the movie to not treat me like I'm an idiot. And I don't care if I'm in the realm of superheroes or if I'm in the realm of a world war. But I feel too often you watch one of these movies and they just like bypass the reality that they create. Like a good example would be the last Batman film they made, which I thought was horseshit, and I'll say that openly, because I felt like...
How dare you say it was horseshit?
Because it was horseshit.
That was on the border of Bane-Cat, which you just...
Yeah,
how dare you say
that? Tell me, why was my movie shit?
Continue, Mr.
Lyons.
Your comment.
Well, because it was really meant to, in my opinion, be two movies. They set up this fantastic world, this great plot, and then, you know, you spend half an hour with Bruce Wayne in the hell pit hole, and he gets out, and all of a sudden that motherfucker's back in Gotham. And we don't know why. He has no money. He has no transportation. He's got nothing.
Yeah.
And yet he arrives back to save the day.
Well, I mean, you're not saying anything.
Treating me like I'm stupid.
You know what? That's fine, and I love the first two films, and I agree with you about the third film. I'm not a defender of Dark Knight Rises at all. I think, yeah, a lot of the points you just made are very valid. But yes, so the point is, a good film is a good film is a good film. A good story is a good story. It doesn't really matter the genre. If you buy the world, then you're going to be telling a good story. And that's why the first two Batman films are so great, and that's why the third one strains credulity to me. So I don't disagree.
Let's talk a little Flash.
But as far as George Miller goes, his quote is, let's see, he goes, "Back in 2008, I was about to do a Justice League movie, and recently there have been conversations, but I've got a full dance card, so I have to see what takes hold and what gives me an obsessive compulsive desire to tell a story." So basically he's saying, anything that really tickles my fancy, I might want to get booked.
Yeah, and what I read into that is that a lot of these films are not looking for auteur directors. Zack Snyder, Warner Brothers, DC, they have an overarching plan for all the films. So, you know, much like that we've seen with the Marvel films, like, they're not necessarily bringing in directors who are going to tell their own story. It does need to fit into this world. So, I wouldn't say George Miller is totally out of it yet, but I wouldn't count on it happening anytime soon.
There you go. Now we can talk about The Flash, but not a TV show, a possible director for a
movie. Some actual Flash movie news. Imagine that. DC Movie News reporting on actual Flash movie news. So, what do we got?
March 3rd, 2018, of course, is the tentative release date, but Seth Graham Smith, who wrote Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, he wrote the books, not the films or the scripts or the comic books,
indeed,
right?
And he's also writing Lego Batman.
Okay, well, this is really interesting because Lord and Miller, who did the first Lego movie, who did 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, are on fire.
And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
And this guy also directed episodes of R.J. Berger, which I thought was a very underrated, funny
show. I never
show.
Saw that. I don't know what it is.
It was on MTV. It only lasted two seasons.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed the heck out of it. I was disappointed it got canceled, but he also directed some episodes.
So now... What it'll be interesting to find out is if the treatment that Lord and Miller did for the film, they've departed The Flash because they're going to do a Han Solo film over at Disney, Lucasfilm. This is sort of one of their prodigies. He's one of their prodigies. So this guy is already, he's working on the Lego Batman that's going to be Will Arnett, which is a tie to the DC Universe, and he's going to be doing the Flash film. So, but he's never directed a big movie before.
No.
So this to me... says that, you know, much like Feige and Marvel, where they'll get on small directors because they pretty much have the effects and the set pieces already worked out. They want to get directors that are going to do the character work and make the world believable. And they're like, you know what? We have the effects. We have the effects taken care of. And that's where Zack Snyder and Deborah Snyder and all these the producers that are overseeing all the films are going to take hold.
I got to say, I was a little confused by the announcement of this. It's nothing that I could be like, I am the most excited to hear this in the entire world, which is what I'm obviously looking for as a major, massive Flash fan. That doesn't mean he wouldn't do a great job. Mm-hmm. It means he might be able to do a really good job, but this isn't something that I'm like, I can get behind this decision because I know everything about him.
It's hard to say. I'm a big fan of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I didn't read Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I know the movie is shit by Timur Bekmambetov, but that's the movie.
But that's what I'm saying. From even being a fan of his work, it's his work and his books.
Right.
How can you possibly jump the next step? I'm not saying you can't.
You can't. No,
he's got a couple of years to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean... True. It's one of those things where you got to say, like, well, if he's got the blessing from Lord and Miller,
yeah,
and Warner Brothers DC is willing to give the blessing, it's how can you not at least wonder? I mean, you can't know. It's not like he's directed a bunch of films that you could base it on.
And to piggyback off your comment, Jordan Furneaux in chat roll says, clearly WB loved his pitch and vision for the character. I trust the WB choices, especially with Zach and Jeff Johns producing. So, yeah, I mean.
And a lot of you guys in the chat roll was like, who's excited about a Flash movie? I got to say, I like the show. But after watching, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, after watching the premiere yesterday, I was thinking, wow, I can't wait to see this as a movie. Or I can't wait to see the Flash movie, because as good as this TV show is, it is such a TV show. And it's such a CW show. So really, I don't think there's going to be a lot of similarities or a lot of crossovers.
What's that mean? When you say a CW show, like, you're saying it's a... How's that different
than...
We'll get to that. I don't want to get ahead of us. Let's finish the movie stuff and we'll get into it.
All right, so we got that. That's happening. Will Smith says he actually doesn't know Jared Leto. He says he's never met the real Jared Leto because on set of Suicide Squad, they only spoke after the word action was yelled out. And he only knows him as the Joker, which, to me, that's really cool.
It's my favorite piece of news of the week. I think that it's just in line with everything that Margot Robbie said about him and everything else that came out. I love that he's taking this so seriously. I love that he's clearly a method actor of some sort.
Acting.
So,
thank you,
Shane. As someone who's acted professionally, as we mentioned on All That, on ER, things like that, when you hear something like this, when you hear an actor like Will Smith say that, like, he and Jared Leto weren't grabbing beers, they weren't hanging out on set, whether taking the statement at face value, the notion that Leto was essentially always in character. And then he never actually met Jared Leto. Like, what do you think about something like that? Cool. Does that steer you one way? Do you think it's all smokescreen?
As a performer? As someone who has performed? Or as, I look at it now, running a professional business, like, that's insane. That is a crazy way to go about your job. You know, as an actor, that's incredible. I think you also dive into that world of where you become your character, and that's pretty narcissistic. And, how far does that go? Was he like that with his family? Was he like that with his friends? Was, like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go in this method world?
I know he had a rat delivered to Margot Robbie at one point. Remember that?
Yeah, and we talked about earlier, a few months ago, we mentioned that they hired somebody to be on set as, like, a psychologist or psychiatrist of some sort to be on set to make sure that he isn't getting too dark and there is somewhere that he's seeing the light. And obviously it's a very serious character to play, especially afterwards.
So was this like his paramedic on set? Was a psychologist on set to make sure he didn't get too Joker?
No, but he would have to check in with that's serious. So he has to go check in with the therapist. I don't think it is ridiculous. I think it's them caring about their actors.
Yeah, I think that's smart because when you start, the only role I never touched anything this heavy, but I did do a character on Law and Order that was disturbed, and when you're in it and you're shooting for 2 weeks, you're in it, and because you're going 12 to 14 hours a day and you're doing these heavy scenes, then it makes sense. It's actually more efficient to not break character or to just stay in that place because you need to get back there emotionally, at a moment's notice. So there's some efficiencies that's gotten there. So I think that's really smart that they brought on someone to say, hey man, you all right? It's a movie.
Well, I'm so excited to see what happens with this performance because this has got to be one of the most controversial castings. People who've seen the trailer, some love it. You said you saw the Suicide Squad trailer and you were actually a fan of it.
Yeah, as a guy who doesn't watch...
this is not your genre.
Not my genre.
Okay.
No, not my genre.
Not your tempo.
No, but it looks great. And Jared Leto at the end, I mean, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
That's Johnny's line.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you real, real bad. Okay, go ahead.
Good,
Shane,
good.
What is your last name, by the way?
Lyons. L-Y-O-N-S.
I'm looking you up on IMDb.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam, going to you, because I know you were excited about this piece of news, more Jared Leto stuff. You might have been working on a bit of a voice here, just saying.
What's that?
You might have been working on a little bit of an accent here.
Oh, yeah. So Grant Morrison.
Putting you on the spot. Really.
Oh, the fantastic Grant Morrison. I don't have the article in front of me, but apparently he was giving feedback onto the character of the Joker, Grant Morrison, who is, of course, like a tremendous, tremendous author. He's also featured in Schnepp's movie, Death of Superman Lives, What Happened.
Yep.
He basically says,
It looks quite interesting. Leto called me to talk about his approach to the character, and I steered him in a few directions. I'm keen to see if it's anything other than the slick back hair and Marilyn Manson vibe that made it into his performance.
That was neither Irish nor Scottish, whatever. I lost it there.
I love you. Sir.
But the point is...
I love you. Always half.
Okay. Graham Morrison commenting on the character, but also rescinding it a little bit. And it's like, we'll see how much he actually took and brought into it. So, we'll see. What else can you really say about it?
Well,
yeah.
I will say this. How dare you introduce Shane Lyons without mentioning he was on two episodes of That's So Raven.
Talk
about burying the lead. Yeah. Talk a little bit about working with Raven Simone.
Yeah, I was on the first episode of That's So Raven, and my real claim to fame is I played Selena Gomez's boyfriend in the first episode of Wizards of Waverly
Place.
Whoa! That they ever shot. Yeah, and it was supposed to be a recurring character.
Brad.
I was Brad. I moved to Colorado and became a chef. But
good for you, though.
Oh, right at that time. So you could have been with Gomez right now?
You're so damn young. You became a chef really young, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, we were on the Next Door Network Star together. He was 19. I was 29.
Holy
shit. He's always been 10 years younger than me.
Adam and I have been the exact same mental age.
He might catch up, though. You never know.
Oh, I think he's going to pass me, actually, this year, mentally.
So, yeah, Jared Leto seeking out Grant Morrison. That's awesome.
It'd be interesting to see if it's more than the slick back hair, and it'll be interesting to see if it's more than the slick back hair and the Marilyn Manson physique.
Jump back once more.
It'd be more interesting to see if it's more than the slick back hair and the Marilyn Manson aesthetic.
Okay, yeah, but like what you're doing is kind of putting a little bit of Joker into.
He's got a little bit of it, you know. Grant Morrison, he's soft spoken like this when he talks.
Peaky Blinders.
Hey, guess what it's time for? It's Roxy Shriver's favorite time of the week. It is TV time.
It's time for Roxy Shriver's TV time.
Okay, we don't have the song.
TV time.
I really love your theme song.
There is an actual theme song that really actually happens.
There is a theme song, but
we threw a lot of curveballs at Mark this week.
Doesn't happen now.
I think he's mid doing.
That's all right. We'll get into it if at any time.
Whenever you get it, just hit the damn music. Anyways, Flash premiered. Gotham, Gotham brought it.
Okay, so Gotham had episode 3. iZombie and Flash premiered. Then the season 2 premieres. So
one thing first. HBO did admit to meeting with Zack Snyder about Watchmen. Their quote is, "Preliminary discussions regarding Watchmen have occurred. We have no additional information and no deals are in place." Just a follow-up last week.
Okay, so all we know is, did you see the Watchmen film?
No.
Okay, so The Watchmen is based on the seminal work by Alan Moore. There was a comic book series called Before Watchmen that was pretty successful. I don't know what this would be based on. But look, this doesn't mean anything. This doesn't mean that the show is getting greenlit. It just means that HBO is interested in getting into some kind of long-form, adult-themed superhero or slash comic book-based show, which is incredible because my favorite show on TV right now is Game of Thrones. I think HBO makes the best TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if HBO did a version of this, it would be fantastic. I watched The Leftovers.
That's my favorite show on TV. I love that.
Leftovers?
It's my favorite show.
What did you think of the first episode?
I thought that it was really weird and great.
I liked it a lot.
I loved it.
Not just because it had really hot girls running naked through the woods. But maybe a little bit because of that, too.
But that was a really interesting scene. We'll talk about it later. If you guys want to watch the AfterBuzz TV after show for Leftovers, you can check that out. I'm on this shit. I don't know, Johnny, if we mentioned Cartoon Network, which cannot confirm the new Justice League series, but everybody's been talking about it, so.
It might happen.
Apparently, somebody reached out to Cartoon Network Canada, and they said that there is, in fact, we mentioned this last week. John Schnepp had mentioned it on his show, Heroes. That he was sure that I think he said Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, or at least Dini, were involved in a new JLA series. Mm-hmm. To which I said, well, that doesn't really make sense because they're making all these animated films. But apparently, this person at Cartoon Network Canada said there is a new Justice League film, Justice League animated series happening, but it wouldn't be until next fall.
And then they took it back, the whole thing, and then they reset it, and then they like, it's been back and forth a million
times. This is all based on some pictures that were taken from the Warner Brothers Burbank offices where people saw, you know, a bunch of photos
right.
of upcoming projects, and there was a JLA on there. Listen, launching the new DCEU, wouldn't it make sense to start a new animated series, like, targeting 12 to 15-year-old children?
Get them invested.
As they grow up. You know, these films we know are coming out at least through 2020, so you want to get shows that these people can appreciate, these younger audiences, and have them grow into these characters. Because as we know, people aren't reading the comic books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great option. You want to go? I want to talk Gotham or Flash first, considering you're wearing a cool mask.
Let's talk Gotham, because usually I try to save it for last because it bums me out so much. But I want to talk about it this week because I thought that it was a really good episode.
Why did you think that? What did you like about it, Ms. Stryer?
Here's what I liked. I think that it focused on some of my favorite relationships. I felt like the stakes were high. I didn't predict exactly what was going to happen. They killed off Jerome. Yeah. I liked the way that.
Did they, though?
Well.
He was
taken away on a stretcher. He was not in a body bag. I mean, I don't know that he was killed.
They showed him on the slab with the smile on his face.
But they didn't zip him up.
They didn't, but the way that his dad predicts that his face will be the last face that all of these people see, and and then we see all the different imitation
Jerome's,
just killing people,
which I thought was really cool.
Weird.
I really liked this episode. I think it's my favorite episode of Gotham so far. I think it's found its footing a little more. It just interested me. I liked watching it. I enjoyed myself.
I think my goal for season two was just keep me entertained, and this season's doing more than that. So
it's a really low goal, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, Shane, because I've had a big problem with Gotham and previous, and people will comment in the chat room and be like, just accept it for what it is. We're getting a show about Gotham. Like, well, that's not really enough. Like, it's got to be good. I'll tell you, what I did like this week, I liked Alfred hitting on Morena Baccarin because it showed
hysterical.
Alfred. I've never seen a demonstration of Alfred's libido before.
Yeah.
So it's good to see Alfred is more than just, like, the dutiful butler. Like, Alfred wants to get his piece. Mm-hmm. And what better person to choose than the incredibly gorgeous Morena Baccarin?
A lot of confidence for a man his age to go after that, too. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, he's like, yo, come hang at Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm kind of the man of the house at Wayne Manor.
Run things. I love Harvey and Gordon together, man. They're just great.
And I really like the dynamic with Catwoman this week, too. I did. I think that's growing on me. And Bruce Wayne, they're all growing on me.
I did like that relationship. No, it was definitely the best episode so far. I'm not saying I'm like head over heels in love with it. But it is good that Jerome is not going to be around for a while. I was done with that character.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that. So we have mixed reviews in the chat about Jerome, as there are online and everywhere else. Some people think that he makes the show. Some people are frustrated with him.
Can I make fun of someone in chat real quick?
Yeah.
This guy Joe just said, Roxy, marry me. But instead of spelling it Mary, he spelled it Mary. So it says, Roxy, marry me. If you're going to ask a woman for her hand in marriage, you might want to spell the word.
What, it was like, marry me?
Like the name Mary.
He forgot the R.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to stick up for my new
fiance. No. He's saying his three paper people are Roxy, Mary, and me.
Like me, thank myself, you. And
okay.
I.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Got
yeah.
it.
Joe, I love you, and that was a yes, so.
There you go.
What about The Flash? Mary. What about your favorite show? What did you think about The Flash season 2 premiere?
Well, apparently I liked it more than you did because you're about to get down on it.
Who said that?
Well, you said that you after
don't
watching
tell me
it,
what I said. Let's talk about what you said.
Okay, well,
speak
I'll talk
for
about
me.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I think the show is awesome. I had one major issue with it. And spoiler alert if you didn't see it last
spoiler
night,
guys, so. This is right now we're about to spoil stuff for Flash season 2 premiere 1 episode 1. It happened last night, so this is your time to step away and walk tentatively. Okay, Roxy.
I had a huge problem with how they handled Henry coming out of prison, coming out of
thank you!
Heights,
I agree with
being,
you!
And then just being like, yo, P.S., I can't be here. There's so many other ways they could have handled him not being
thank you, show. Roxy! You see, you were about to say that I was negative, but that was what I had the biggest problem with. Right. They had his dad in jail the whole first
time.
Season.
And then we take him out for him to say, I can't be here because you're a superhero.
You're so CW! That's what was so CW. So the character of John Wesley Shipp was in jail the whole first season. He was wrongfully framed for murdering his wife.
Oh.
Then at the beginning of season 2, or sometime during the season two premiere. The guy who actually did murder it leaves a videotape confession, which leads to his dad getting out of jail, which leads to a very silly birthday party montage, which, like, people are at the birthday that should be. It was just potentially could have been a really grounded, dramatic thing. And then the birthday party ends with him saying, I can't be here, Barry. Like, just to get him off the show.
Here's my suggestion, because I don't love when people poke holes without finding a way to use it. This is what I wish the dad said. I wish he said, listen, I was just in prison for so many years, and I love you, but I can't if he was going to have to leave, I can't live here anymore, because I can't be the guy who murdered his wife to half the people, and the guy who's wrongfully accused of murdering his wife to the other half. People aren't going to look at me the same. I'm not going to get the kind of new, fresh start that I want to get. I have to go for me. If he had said that, I would have been like, okay. But the reason why he claims he has to go.
What was the reason? Tell me. Sorry. No. I didn't mean to be rude.
The reason he says he has to go is because his son is a superhero and he doesn't want to hold him back. It was bullshit. Bullshit. Wow. That's how I felt about it. I loved every other part of the episode. I love getting the team back together. I love seeing Edge. I thought the whole thing was so great. And then there was that moment where I was like, I'm going to literally blow my brains out for a second. And then I put them back in when Jake Garrett came.
And having Edge on that show is only going to increase ratings, because he's a massive following online, and he's got the look. I mean, he looks great.
Edge was cool. Adam Smasher was cool. What was really cool is we saw the first glimpse of Cisco potentially becoming a metahuman or something like this. There was a moment with Cisco where he like kind of zones out and it's kind of unexplained.
So
we're gonna see where that's going. Definitely vibe. And I did like Jay Garrick in the end. I really like that actor that's playing Jay Garrick, and that to me is exciting. So
Teddy Sears?
Yeah, it was a fine episode. I just had to manage expectations a little bit, but I did have a problem with how they handled John Wesley Shipp getting out of jail and kind of writing him off the show for convenience sake. It just felt very melodramatic.
Yeah, and now I think that he's going to end up having maybe to go back to Iron Heights, because obviously Tom Cavanaugh's coming back, and what are they going to do? Throw the person that isn't him in jail, who didn't actually commit a murder, and what the whole thing, so... What are you looking at?
No. That's interesting. So you're saying that the guy that looks like Harrison Wells is Harrison Wells. He comes back, and then there's like,
he didn't actually commit a murder because his body was taken over.
So then he's going back to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he goes outlaw.
Maybe he goes outlaw. The whole thing, though, I just thought that they could have used a way better excuse if they were trying to get him off the show. Or bring him into the Scooby Gang for a little bit. I want to see him participate. But we didn't get there.
I want to see you in this mask every day.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I do like you in the
mask. This is a really nice early morning treat, by the way.
The people on iTunes are like, what is he talking about?
A tasty treat. All right, so I got to let everyone know, there's people in chat roll that haven't seen Flash, so they're muting it. I'm going to let them know we're moving on. So.
We're moving on, guys. And no more Flash talk.
Yeah, for the people, we're moving on.
All right, we're moving on. I think we got to talk about the colonel.
The colonel!
I said I wanted to mention iZombie!
Well, then go ahead, talk about iZombie!
All right, the season 2 premiere was really, really good. Anybody who's an iZombie fan, the people that I've talked to so far, really enjoyed it. It hasn't answered our questions yet, but Rose McIver did an excellent job, and I enjoy to see all the different kinds of brains she keeps eating.
She eats brains
for breakfast.
So, of the three DC premiere shows so far...
The premieres? Or
yeah,
Premieres. Three. Because Premiere of Gotham I didn't like as much.
Okay.
It was okay. So I would say Flash, iZombie, Gotham for the premieres.
Okay. I loved Gotham.
Still got Supergirl coming. Arrow's coming tonight. Supergirl's going to be here on October 26th. Supergirl advertised during the Flash yesterday. No surprise there.
But I don't understand the advertisement where we don't even see Melissa for like... until the very last snippet. It's mostly of the younger version of Kara. I thought that was a weird play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not any worse than the 2-minute Gotham clip of the jail that we saw leading up to
Roman Barber. That was bad.
So,
that was really bad.
It was really, really bad. And then, of course, the one that I'm the most excited for is that we've got Legends of Tomorrow coming in 2016. And Preacher and all those.
Oh, wait. One more thing I wanted to talk about. All right, this is kind of spoilers for Flash again, so put on your earmuffs. We talk about Robbie Amell as Firestorm.
I know.
And I had said last week, there's this different actor that seems to be playing a Firestorm, and you're like, oh no, I'll be back. But Robbie Amell, I think, is pretty much off the show at this point.
Let me show you what he tweeted. tweets.
What he
Instagrams. Why can't I speak?
She's going to give you a weasen by checking her Twitter.
But even what the showrunner said, they're like, we hope he has an opportunity to come back someday, but I don't know.
He Instagrammed a photo of him as Firestorm yesterday that said, you haven't seen the last of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But basically, the producer said that he's got other opportunities. I believe he's on X-Files now, so.
Yeah, he is.
He's off the show, and Legends of Tomorrow needs a Firestorm, so they have a different
Firestorm.
But
they already have Martin Stein, Victor Garber, so we'll see what they do.
So Victor Garber is going to somehow get involved with somebody else and become a Firestorm of a different color.
So great.
So to speak.
Can we please talk about the Colin Old
Two? Yes. Comic-Con exclusive. Talk about it. What's going on?
Okay, Comic-Con exclusive. We have battling KFC Colonels.
The Colonel, played by Norm MacDonald now in the commercials.
And I believe Daryl Hammond was the other.
Yep.
So we actually got to see the first couple pages of this comic book involving the Flash and the Green Arrow. And it's basically evil Colonel battling nice Colonel.
So this takes place on Earth 3, which in the DC universe is where the morality of a lot of the characters are reversed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Colonel, and yes, that Colonel from KFC is wearing an all black suit, mm-hmm. and he is all about frying chicken the easy way, as opposed to KFC Colonel that wears white that we know who fries it the hard way. So now we turn to New York City chef of Distilled Restaurant, Shane Lyons, to speak to frying chicken the hard way versus the easy way, Shane.
Yes.
Well, you know, my first question, and being not aware of these universal switches. So in this world, the supposedly our white colonel is just, and our black colonel is...
Yeah, it's like spy versus spy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Frying the hard way is more difficult. It's more labor intensive.
Got it. So, like, I can assume in the real world, just like the normal KFC, they use, like, not real chicken that's been pumped with nasty hormones and have been grown in little... pens and probably tortured a little bit. So that's like the real world. So maybe then the black...
The Earth 3.
Well, maybe he actually uses like real chickens.
I mean, could be.
That'd be very interesting to see.
So you're saying that maybe the colonel that wears black might be the good colonel.
Yeah, like it's one of those switcheroos. Like, in fact, maybe he's actually using non-tortured animals.
Okay, well, I would like to have a little bit of comic book theater at this point. There is a scene on the show where the colonel brandishes a banjo.
I'm ready for it.
And starts to sing a song. So I've been working on giving this a melody. Okay, so this is Colonel Sanders.
I'm just letting you know that my expectations are so high after you tore apart TV Time for so long that this guy has got to...
Well, this is these lyrics. Way. Okay, so this is, again, from the A Colonel of Two Worlds,
I'll do the banjo you sing.
Okay. Okay. So I'm Colonel Sanders, and I sell sea chicken. Maybe it don't taste good, but it's easy pickings. It fills your belly, and that's all that matters. Forget Kentucky, easy makes you gladder. Yeah! Okay, so that was the Colonel from Earth 3. Thank you very much.
Got it.
That was really good, guys.
Thank you.
I'm crying.
I don't think they're tears of joy.
That was truly, truly, and I mean this in the true sense of the word, unbelievable.
Yeah, you're not able to believe it.
Yep. I do not
believe it. I'm a big banjo fan.
I really appreciated that. It was like a dark banjo kind of groove you were giving me there.
It was a bass banjo.
I just kind of
want to watch you doing it. You like, watch yourself singing this now.
I really am embodying the character of the Dark Colonel, I think.
Just be warned, don't ever go karaokeing with Adam, because you'll get up there and you will fucking rock it. And then Adam will come up and whip out his harmonica, and you've got nothing.
Yeah.
You've got nothing, and he rubs it in your face.
I would like to just go down the list of comments right now in the chat. The intensity in his face. Jeez. Please stop. Smash. I quit. Wow. It has rhythm. KFC comic book song? What am I watching? Is this the highlight of my life?
Oh man, pretty painful. That's what's going on.
That's what you want. You want real strong opinions.
We're riffing it here.
Coming soon, guys, Dark Colonel trilogy.
We got 6 freaking months till a movie comes out. Sometimes you got to stretch. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, last story of the week: a very cool Lego artist in Australia debuted a 18-foot-long Batmobile for the Art of Brick DC Comics art exhibit in Sydney, Australia, coming up at the Powerhouse Museum in November. It's one of several DC sculptures that'll be on display, and we got the picture of it right there. That's an 18-foot Batman.
If I sat on it, would it break?
I don't think so. It's 18 feet long.
And how pissed would they be if I sat on that and it broke?
Or if you just Jenga'd it and just destroyed the whole thing?
What Batmobile is that?
That's the cartoon, right?
It's not exactly the cartoon, because the one in the cartoon, I don't think it had the wings off it like that. It looks like it's an original design. Guys, in the chat roll, seriously, is that any particular Batmobile? I can't really tell. Or is it like one made up just because it almost looks like some of the ones from like the 40s comics, but that had like a bat face on it as well. It's got the fins. I don't know. It looks pretty awesome. I love these Lego sculptures. So.
Hell yeah. They're amazing.
How long do you think it takes to make?
Too long. I don't have that kind of attention. I don't know.
No, I want like an actual number.
17.
Any other questions? What else we got, guys?
That's it. I mean, we pretty much just did a full show.
Alright.
See, last week they're bitching at us about not asking their questions, but this week all they were doing was commenting about your amazing song. I'm just kidding, you guys are the best, but if you have questions, let us know. I know we were answering them at first, and then we took a little break from questions, but we're back on questions, so you guys tweeted us and used the hashtag DC Movie News and tweet at DC Movies SK.
And if you want some banjo lessons, holler at your boy.
Okay.
Are you your boy?
Yeah.
Your boy.
All right, where can they find you? What's going on?
Shane Lyons.
Shane Lyons, put yourself over.
You can find me at Distilled New York in Tribeca, and all of my restaurant social media as I have none. So Distilled New York at Twitter, I think it is, or
yes.
Hashtag Insto Distilled.
Distilled NYC, I believe, is the restaurant. You could ask me if you want to find it. It's a fantastic restaurant if you're in the New York City area. Shane makes the best wings you've ever had in your life. He does a take on chicken and waffles with duck. He's got an exciting new menu for the season. His sausage gravy on brunch, still one of my favorite things in the world.
I'm going to be in New York in 2 weeks.
Oh, you got to go check it out.
It's at the chef's counter.
It's in Tribeca. Roxy?
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of New York, I'm really excited to get some Comic-Con news next week, so hopefully we'll be having some great New York Comic Con news to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. I also am going to be on SourceFed Superhero Roundup this Friday, and I was just on Screen Junkies Movie Fights last Sunday, so if you want to check those out, make sure you do that. They're very fun and really cool, and you guys will love it, so I really appreciate all the support.
Great. There you go. At Jay Quasto, and the Whistle Sports Epic Tour rolls on. I'm about to head to Dallas today. So this weekend, we're in Dallas for the Oklahoma-Texas game. Also at the Texas State Fair, I'm going to make myself sick eating so many fried
goodies. I can't wait to see the food you get at the Texas State Fair, dude. Yeah. I'm really excited about this.
I think they're going to enter me in something. I'm not really sure.
And find out what the new big freaking, you know, Krispy Kreme cheeseburger or fried Coke thing is this year.
Trust me.
Please. What you guys are talking about is disgusting, though. Like the fried buttery so Coke? I don't understand.
I was a fat kid. It's only disgusting because you've got taste.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I was a fat kid who loved Long John Silver's growing up. Let me have this.
Look, we were all former fat kids here at this table. So
that is true.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Rox is the only one that's still fat. So,
what?
I know.
All the iTunes users are like, that was mean. That was mean.
Yeah. Not
hey. It's okay.
Next week we're in Green Bay on Tuesday, Chicago Wednesday, and then we go to Michigan for Michigan State. So,
and by we, you mean you and Whistle Sports.
Yes, me and Whistle Sports. Even if you don't like sports, you'll enjoy the show. It's not just about football. It's a lifestyle show. It's about the culture of traveling to these cities. So you really enjoy it. So if you see me post about it, please our tweet and favorite our tweet it.
Our tweet.
Our tweet it if you don't mind.
Is it the abbreviation for retweet?
Yes.
Our tweet.
I'm trying to give you a Weezin to watch. Just please watch. You'll enjoy the show.
I have nothing now.
The Weezin for the season.
All right, that's everybody. Thank you so much for watching, guys. We love you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.